few of us know what it's really like inside a prison, unless you've been locked up yourself, or unless you're one of the 5,000-ish men and women who work in corrections in the North Country's many prisons. Well, about 25 years ago, a journalist wanted to learn what it's like inside firsthand. And so he became a CO, and he wrote a book about it. We talked to him on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from the St. Lawrence County Community Development Program, now accepting applications for the Head Start program to prepare children ages 3 to 5 for school, online at slccdp.org/head-start.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Tuesday, March 19th, right to today's story. There is a severe shortage of staff at New York's prisons, like almost 4,000 open jobs, even though the state has already closed 24 prisons. Governor Hochul wants to close another 5 because of this shortage. Yesterday, you heard Emily Russell report on some of the reasons for this shortage in corrections, and you can find that story in our Story of the Day podcast feed. Today, what it's actually like to work inside a prison. 25 years ago, journalist Ted Conover decided to become a corrections officer. He went through the 6-week training in Albany and then worked for 10 months at Sing Sing, the maximum security prison just north of New York City. Conover wrote a book about his experience called New Jack, a term that's used to describe new officers. He spoke with our Adirondack reporter Emily Russell about his experience.
When you first arrive, when you're a new jack, as they say, or a rookie, you just get tested all the time. And people challenge you. They intimidate you. They try to scare you. They succeed. This happened on my first day. I was with a training officer, and a prisoner pretended he acted like he was going to punch me, and his fist stopped right under my chin. And he and the guys he was with laughed. And the training officer kind of laughed too, like, well, on we go. And, you know, in the training academy, they would have said, oh, that's a threat. You write them up, you give them a ticket, and they go before a disciplinary committee. And if they're found guilty, they'll be confined to their cell or a disciplinary building. But in reality, that wasn't the case. You know, you don't write the ticket because this kind of thing happens a lot. And tickets are reserved for when somebody actually gets hurt, not for just when they get scared. So it's a stressful job because that whole power thing and being outnumbered. And I guess also just because it's a negative kind of environment, right? It's a place of punishment where an officer's job is mainly to say no all day. And I think it's that need to assert yourself carefully that is really stressful.
Were you ever injured?
Yeah, I lost my temper one day. There's a vivid description of this in New Jack. And I yelled at a guy who'd been masturbating in front of a female trainee who I was trying to train. And I got so mad at him. And I raised my voice, and that got everybody's attention, and they started mocking me. And I grabbed a mirror that a guy had left on his bars, the bars of the front of his cell. He wasn't allowed to leave it there. There's all these rules. They can hold the mirror out, but they can't leave it on the bars. Unfortunately, I grabbed it while walking in a way that meant I'd have to walk back by his cell to get back to my headquarters. And when I did, he reached out and slugged me on the back of the sort of the side of the head, and it didn't hurt that much. Oh, he spit on me too. And you have to report this kind of thing when it happens, which is humiliating because it sort of shows you've lost control, even if they do it to you. And the sergeant I reported it to asked me what happened, asked me why I was walking close enough to the front of his cell for him to hit me. And I said I didn't want to look scared. And then said in this voice I'll never forget, and why didn't you grab his arm and break it? And I thought, whoa, that's actually what had passed through my mind, but it's nothing I would ever have said out loud or even admitted that I'd thought, right? Because that's not who I am. But this guy had been a hostage during a prison uprising right after he got to Sing Sing. He'd been there a long time. And that's this kind of darkness that, yeah, you see can grow in people who spend so many hours a day in that kind of environment. And I'm not excusing it. And I think, you know, the best officers resist those thoughts and stay good people. And yeah, those are the ones I would want to be with. But there's the other side too.
How did that impact your time outside of the prison? You know, when you'd go home to your family, how did the work inside the prison impact your home life?
So not in a good way. At the academy, they told us, you know, don't take it home. Leave it at the gate. Don't treat your family like inmates. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, right, as if that would ever happen. But in fact, when you're in a social situation all day where you're just trying to get people to follow the rules and do what you tell them to, it can be really hard to shift out of it. And it's also really hard to leave the stress behind all of a sudden.
I know you kind of went into to understand, you know, the experience of correction officers. What did your time inside the prison teach you about the experience of people incarcerated?
Well, lots of different kinds of things. One is that you find there are certain people who you really like. And you think, you know, if we had met each other under other circumstances, we'd probably be friends, because there's a lot of humanity in a prison. At the same time, it's set up so that you don't know about what they did to get there. And what they drill into you in the academy again and again is most people who end up in a maximum security prison have done something really harmful to somebody else in most cases, right? So you have to temper your natural desire to want to make friends with a sort of skepticism about, well, what kind of person is this? So it's a frustrating place to be a human, and you feel badly for them in all kinds of ways, you know, especially on holidays. As a rookie, I got sent around all over the prison and worked a few days in the visit room, where all of a sudden you see these men surrounded by children or their spouses or partners, and you just think, oh my gosh. And a person who can be just really awful to you in the morning, you can see them in the afternoon, and they're suddenly so happy and smiling to have their kids near them and a visit from the outside world.
Did the experience leave a lasting impact on you?
Oh, for sure. It's intense, and you never forget something like this. I was giving a talk at a college afterward, and the college psychologist came up to me and said he thought I had PTSD from the experience. And I kind of laughed, as that seemed to me something a veteran gets, somebody who's seen actual war. But he said, no, you can get it from all kinds of trauma. And, you know, the stories you tell are pretty traumatic. And like you say, you're still having dreams now of prison, even though it's been months since you left. And in some of these dreams, I'm a prisoner. I've been unfairly locked up. Nobody's listening to me about that. I don't really have the dreams much anymore, but it's totally changed the way I think about corrections and the people in it, and also about prisoners. Yeah, you get close like that, and it's not just a topic I'm going to research this month and then I'm going to move on. It's part of my life now.
That was journalist Ted Conover speaking with Emily Russell. You can hear a longer version of their interview on our website, ncpr.org. Tomorrow, we have a different perspective, a different side. What it's like to visit a loved one in prison. It can be complicated, expensive, and sometimes visits are canceled at the last minute. One Mother's Experience, tomorrow on Story of the Day. We have more news all the time on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by Eddie Lawrence of Moira. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.